Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you and welcome to Islam and Life with me Tariq Ramadan broadcasting from London. In today's show we ask the question, how should Ramadan be inspirational to establish peace and mercy all over the globe?
Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar and a time when Muslims across the world fast during the hours of daylight. It is intended to help teach Muslims self-discipline, self-restraint and generosity. It also reminds them of the suffering of the poor and teaches one to share the sufferings of the less fortunate. When Ramadan comes, most Muslims attempt to change their whole physical and emotional selves during these 30 long days of fasting, seeking to suppress their desires and increase their spiritual piety. For a Muslim, fasting not only means abstaining from food, but also refraining from all vices and evils committed consciously or unconsciously. Looking at the situations around the world and the turmoil in the Middle East, this episode of Islam and Life asks how Ramadan should be inspirational to establish peace and mercy all over the globe.
Indeed, the month of Ramadan is not only to prevent oneself from eating and drinking. It's a philosophy of life. It's a way of life. It's to come back to the self. It's to ask the essential questions about the meaning of one's life, the meaning of one's commitments towards the society. It's at the same time individual and a collective, a community dimension that is part of the teaching of Ramadan. And while we are witnessing today what is happening around the world with so much poverty, people being marginalized, economic crisis, or for example uprisings in the Muslim majority countries, there is a meaning in Ramadan, which is this quest for peace, inner peace and social peace and justice at the same time. Which kind of lessons we can draw from Ramadan, and in which way this Ramadan could be inspirational, not only for Muslims, but also for people of other faiths in our societies in the West as well as in Muslim majority countries. To answer all these questions, I'm joined by Dr. Muhammad Abdul Bari, Chair of the Europe International Affairs Committee of the Muslim Council of Britain and Chair of the East London Mosque Trust. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let me come first to the teaching, the teachings of Ramadan as a month of fasting, coming back to the Quran, coming back to oneself. What would you say is essential to get when it comes to Ramadan as a month of fasting?
Well, the most essential part of it is self-restraint, self-consciousness, or God-consciousness, as some commentators have commented. It's about one's individual's purification of self. It's about family. It's about the community of the society where you live in. And, of course, it's about the whole of humanity. And the fact that Ramadan is the month, the whole month, and the fasting is across the world. And so Muslims, wherever they live, along with the neighbors, along with the people they live in the society, the impact of Ramadan, that means this self-purification, self-restraint, this message should transmit to the wider society. This society that is, unfortunately, is bogged with many, many social ills and political crises. But this self-purification brings inner peace and happiness in individual human being.
But this is the point that very often, it's the same even in Muslim majority countries as it is in the West, for example, where some believers, women and men, are experiencing Ramadan, are coming back to their self. They are trying to purify their self. Tazkiyat an-nafs is the way they are trying to change, reform what the way they live, the way they feel, the way they think, the way they behave. And at the same time, it's as if they withdraw into something which is an individual spiritual experience or a community experience. And many, for example, this is quite clear in the West, many of the people of other faiths, they have this experience, this feeling that it's a community experience, that it's not coming back to them. What's wrong with our understanding? Is it first the reality? And what's wrong with our understanding if this is the reality?
I think the most the problem that is within Muslim Ummah and the community today is about the understanding of Islam. Islam is not about withdrawing from the society. It's not isolating oneself or the community from the wider society. Islam has been here by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to generate piety into the whole of human beings. So withdrawal from the society or community doesn't do that. So in essence, Islam asks Muslims to become part of the society. I know society cannot be perfect, and we are not perfect as human beings, but let's try to more or less work with the society and purify the whole of the society as much as we can. And the essence of Ramadan is about fellow feeling, it's about helping each other, it's about generosity. And the probably one quarter of human beings live below poverty level in the world. What about our next door neighbor? Do they have enough food for the day?
So let us try to take all these dimensions. And the first one is really about the spirituality, because once again, you are right. We are talking about Ramadan as the month where we care for the poor people, the needy, and all the marginalized people, and even in our industrialized society, the elder people that are forgotten from the society. But before that, there is one contribution which should be inspirational. It's really the way we deal with consumerism around us. And this is not only a Western business. It's exactly the same in some Muslim majority countries in where the people are eating more. They are fasting, yes, during the day, but having a life during the night, which is quite amazing, the way they are dealing with eating and drinking and having their life and turning everything upside down by sleeping during the day and fasting during the night. If we come to the very essence of this teaching, the spiritual contribution, in which way today, for the Muslims themselves and for people, their fellow citizens, this could be an inspiration. The spiritual dimension of this Ramadan, which is a gift not only for the Muslims but for the world.
Yeah, this could be inspirational. So Muslims have to understand the meaning of Islam and the spirit of Ramadan. I think the meaning and spirit are important things. Just ritual practice as a cultural practice, as we see in some in some cultures or society, people just give fast. Even young people give fast, and for the whole month they don't probably do major things that can harm them, and when the month goes, in the next 11 months, they do whatever they like. That is because of the poor understanding of Islam and the spirit of Ramadan. Ramadan wants to purify us internally, and it wants to burn our desire and ego and our pride and arrogance, so that we can become true human beings. And true human beings are on a par with the other human beings in the society. They live side by side and transmit the same message of love, compassion, justice, fairness to others. And if this is missing, then definitely something is missing from the understanding of the Ramadan and fasting.
Dr. Barry, you have been working for years at the grassroots level in the East London Mosque and at the national level in the British Muslim Council. If you want to bring this message to the world and to your fellow non-Muslim citizens, how can we do this? Because it's as if we keep on repeating what Islam is not. Islam is not violence, it's not Islam terrorists. But this positive, deep, thorough spiritual teaching of Islam, this is not reaching the people. How have you been doing this over the years to reach the people?
Well, Ramadan is about sharing experience. And that sharing experience starts from one's own family and one's own neighborhood. And in the society that we live in, not everybody is a Muslim. And obviously, all human beings are our neighbors, more or less. And Prophet ﷺ was asked, who are the neighbors? Because neighborhood responsibility is so much in Islam that on occasions, Prophet ﷺ felt that probably the neighbors should be given inheritance. So companions asked, who are the neighbors? And he mentioned 40 houses on your left and 40 houses on the right. So that means the whole of neighborhood, the community, the society that we live in, they are part and parcels of our being. We belong to the society, we belong to the community. And if Ramadan, the message of Ramadan, is not shared by our neighbors, is not shared by our community, our colleagues, our fellow travelers and the people that we work with, then the major thing is missing from Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, most Muslims, because of probably ignorance or because of cultural practice as normally happening, they lose the essence of not only Ramadan or prayer, which is so important and is so meaningful for our life, and for zakat and hajj.
All the practices.
All the practices. Yeah, yeah. The Muslims lose the essence of it at the peril of their future, in fact, reality and future. And
yes, so there is another dimension with this. So this is the spiritual thing, and once again, we keep on repeating that the first thing the Muslims should do is to learn their religion, to get a deeper understanding of their religion. Now, you were talking before that about solidarity and justice. If we look at the world today and the Muslim majority countries, they are among the poorest, except some petromonarchies, but the poorest countries in the world. While Ramadan is there and it's full of teaching about caring, about solidarity, not only about solidarity, because zakat is not only a solidarity understanding, it has to do with a purifying social tax. You have to pay it to get this social justice with people and towards people. What would be here the main inspirational teachings that we can get first to reform the Muslim majority countries, but also to be effective in Western countries?
Well, Muslim majority countries is a big issue, and I cannot go into that discussion. And it's for the last few hundred centuries, we have seen what is happening. And probably we are, our generation and probably even future generation for some time, will pay the penalty of what we are doing now. What we can say about Muslims as part and parcel of the Western society, if we can call it the Western society, because the concept of East and West is now merged now.
Yes.
So we are part of the society. What we can do as Muslims is to share our experiences. Whatever experience we have, the spiritual experience, our experience of zakah and sadaqah and all these good experiences, we need to share with our communities around us. And that's the essence of Islam. And this has to be unilateral. It's not that somebody does justice to me or fairness to me, and in return I do the same. In fact, Islam asks to be unilaterally good, unilaterally fair and just.
To give
and
whatever
to
you
give
receive.
Whatever we have and whatever we possess. If we don't do this, and if we make a condition of that, that we'll only do good to those who do good to us. That's not an Islamic teaching. The problem, as I find sometimes, that many Muslims have lost the spirit and message of Islam, and some have become so much political in the political sense that they only see things in the political angle. And there's a significant proportion of Muslims who, because of lack of knowledge about Islam and the lack of knowledge of the society itself, because what we see always, in some eyes, we see society full of social ills. Was there any society in the world which was not having any social ills? We will have social ills. We will have our own difficulties and problems. We are not perfect, but at the end of the day, we cannot pretend to be perfect. And what we have to do is, as ordinary human beings, relate to the others. Relate to the ordinary people in the street, in our neighborhood, Muslims and non-Muslims, and share our happiness, goodness, and joy, and physical and spiritual happiness.
So, at the end of the day, it's really to be proactive at different levels.
At the end of the day, it has to be proactive. It has to be dynamic. It has to be forward-looking, not regressive. That is the essence of Islam that I personally understand.
Yes. Let me ask you a question. You know, over the last few days and even when we were talking about Ramadan is coming and Ramadan is there, many journalists in the West were asking this question, and especially connected to the Arab uprisings and what is happening in the countries. Well, the mobilizations over the last few months were very much around Friday's prayer. So it's really the Friday's freedom where the people were gathering, and from Egypt to Tunisia to Libya to Syria, all these countries they were dealing. And some were asking, is Ramadan going to have an impact on this aspiration towards freedom? And should it be so? Should it be that they are using, so to speak, Ramadan as a driving force to ask for justice? Is this the essence of what Ramadan should be? What would be your answer?
I think by preventing ourselves from food and drink, we are releasing energy from inside, because if our body becomes restrained, then we have got more spirituality. And ideally this should happen. But Friday prayer is, in spite of all the problems in the Muslim world, at least in the Friday prayers, people can come and congregate. So that congregation has an essence in Islam. Congregation means people can see each other, can network, and there's a possibility of social change through that congregation if there's a proper leadership. And what we have seen in certain Muslim countries which are doing a bit of progress in this Arab Spring is Friday prayer has been used, rightly so, for the benefit of the whole society and freedom of speech and determination, all sorts of things. But unfortunately, there is a counter-revolution going on in many Arab countries, because those who have been at the helm of power, they don't want to release or leave their power and authority and what they have. And that has been happening for the last few centuries. And I personally say that for the Arab world, history was frozen for some time. And it's for the first time history is unlocked, is unlocked. And hopefully our generation, or the younger generation, or future generation, will try to probably take things from what where we are at the moment. And I'm optimistic in that sense.
Yes, but should Ramadan be a special moment for that? Because you were saying something which is quite interesting, which is quite right. Fridays and the sermons were used to promote justice and no dictatorship and freedom for all. Now Ramadan is coming, and is there something that we can take out of this spiritual experience during the month to promote resistance, or is it resistance and peace, or is it peace without resistance?
Well, Ramadan is a great occasion, and you know, like Friday prayer, it's a Taraweeh, and in many mosques,
the prayer is a long prayer,
at least 2 hours in many places, and through this prayer, people come and know each other and can see each other and can express their opinions. So there could be a avalanche of fellow feeling, avalanche of feeling for fairness and justice. I will not be too political in that sense, because I personally think one of the Achilles heel for the Muslims throughout the history of Islam is politics. Bad politics and dark art of politics rather than good politics. And politics is essential for Muslims. And in fact, good politics create good society. And Muslims, for many centuries, unfortunately, have been failing in it. And there are good signs that probably is coming, hopefully, inshallah. So through Taraweeh and through Friday prayer, Muslims can network each other, can give the message of hope and optimism, justice, fairness, and resistance to bad things, and tyranny, all sorts of things. And it could be an springboard, an occasion for Muslims to reinvent themselves through reflection and introspection, so that they can see where they had been in the past, where they are at the moment, and where they can be.
It's self-introspection at the same time.
That's so essential for Muslims.
Looking at history and the future. If we come back to this understanding of what is happening now and during the months of Ramadan, what we have been saying is, we come back to ourselves, we try to understand the meaning of our life, and we try to understand the society. And when we deal and we are trying to talk to people of other faiths, we want to translate the very essence of these teachings. If now you had to say, what are the main lessons that we can draw from this Ramadan for the people around us, for the contemporary societies, what would be the main teaching on which you would focus today?
I think the essence of Islam is to love human beings and the creation that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has created for us, and we are the stewards of this earth. And stewardship needs a lot of qualities, and Muslims have to replenish themselves spiritually and also through knowledge and wisdom. And that has been there in the past in Islam. What we have to do is sift through our Islamic past and find the best out of it and try to implement in our personal, family, community, and social level. And this Ramadan is a reminder for us from Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. And one of the most important aspects is the Quran, Al Quran, which was revealed in this month. And this Quran generated a community from the abyss of darkness into the height of humanity and perfection. And if Quran was able to do that over the centuries, especially after the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why cannot we recite the Quran, understand the Quran, and go through the meaning of the Quran, and also try to implement what Quran has asked from us? So Ramadan and Quran are more or less two sides of the same coin. So one of the things that I personally try to take notice of and try to practice is to learn Quran more in this month, and try to reflect a bit more, in spite of whatever busy schedule we have in our personal life.
So it's a double dimension, because what you are saying is something which is quite personal, it's individual, but you are saying at the beginning something which is very important. At the end of the day, if the people don't get this inspirational lessons and teaching coming from Ramadan, it's also because the Muslims are not reaching out enough.
They are really introvert, they are really insular, they are really, sometimes in some areas, they live parallel lives which they shouldn't. Muslims should be proactive, should be inclusive, and diversity is the essence of Islam. And Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has created human beings out of diversity, and the world is so diverse. It's a pleasure that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has done the way He has done, and so it is the way that we should reach out people, and it starts from the Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. So we try to save ourselves, our family, and ahl, and then the whole of the community and society at the end of the day, inshallah.
Thank you so much. I think that it's important to understand the very essence of fasting, and you all have been repeating that at the end of the day, for the Muslims, it's to understand the very essence of this religion, their religion, but also for themselves and for their fellow citizens, in Muslim-majority countries, as well as in Western countries, in society like the UK or France or the United States of America, where the teaching of Islam, it's in which way it's inspirational, it's this understanding that everyone is autonomous, should come back to her or himself to get a better understanding of his or her heart, and then at the same time to reform the society for the better, not only through solidarity but through justice and peace with justice, as the uprisings in the Muslim majority countries are showing these days. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programs, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Dr. Muhammad Abdul Bari. Thank you so much for your insight and your participation. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.